Daniel. In chapters 7, 8, and 9, we've learned so much. He laid out for us, this is the Word of God, lays out for us history before it's history. He laid out history while it was still future. Now we have the privilege of looking back and we can see how good and solid God's history is. He knows the end from the beginning that makes Him God. And so and that's what we've been reading as we come going through Daniel. Now, we come to chapter 10. Learn a lot today. We're not going to get into Daniel's newest vision. Chapters 10, 11, and 12 all go together. But I'll only get through chapter 10 today. But we're going to learn some things about angels. Angelology, the study of angels. It's just amazing. Watch this. In chapter 10, verse 1. Daniel says, in the third year of King Cyrus, or in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he understood, or the understand had understanding of the vision. The third year of Cyrus, king of the Medes and the Persians, king of Persia. The third year, that would have been about 534 BC. Daniel is now retired from office. He only worked through up through the first year of the reign of King Cyrus, or Cyrus the king. So now Daniel's in retirement. He's up in age. He's probably near 90 years old, maybe a little past it. He's retired, no longer in public office. And Daniel says, it's funny how the King James language does it. Daniel says, a thing was revealed to me. Now, that's unfortunate. That's King James. This is 1600 Elizabethan English, so it made sense then. Today, we wouldn't say a thing, because the word we would put there is a word. You with me? I'll read it to you. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. And the word was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. A word was revealed to Daniel. Daniel has been concerned. He's been concerned, as you've been reading through chapters 7, 8, and 9. Very concerned about the people that he loves, the Jewish people. Those are his people. And concerned about the land called Israel and the city called Jerusalem. He's really been burdened and concerned about those things. And so he says, a word was revealed to me, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. When he says the time appointed was long, meaning what was told to Daniel would not take place in the immediate future, but in the distant, the far off future. Long. And Daniel says, I understood the word. It made sense to me. This vision was made clear to me so that I understood that it would be, let me rephrase it. I understood that it would be, in other words, that it would happen, but that it wouldn't be until distant future. He said, it made sense to me, and that's what happened. I understood. Now, because of it, look at verse 2. In those days, excuse me, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He was sad. He was concerned about his people, the Jews. He was concerned about the promised land. That land was promised by God Almighty. And they had been scattered throughout the known world. He was so concerned. He said, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all. Till 3 whole weeks was fulfilled. Because of what the Lord had shown him, Daniel was in mourning. Because of the plight of his people. You know, some would return after the commandment was given to restore the city and rebuild Jerusalem. The command was given, but first a group was let go, and not very many of them, a small group went to Israel to begin to rebuild the temple. And Daniel's really concerned. Israel's still scattered to the four winds. In other words, to the north, south, east, and the west. And he mourns for his people and his country, Israel. He mourned and he said, I fasted for 3 full weeks. These are literal weeks. The reason I know is they're not weeks of years, as we read in chapter 9. These are literal weeks because the angel will tell him, I was sent 21 days ago. 3 full weeks. He ate only bread and water, basically, for 3 weeks. He mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. And verse 4 says, and in the 24th day of the first month, the first month would coincide with our March-April time frame, so you're probably looking at about April 24th. As I was by the side of the great river Hiddekel, you and I would say Tigris. So I was by the great river, the Tigris. I'll stop there. You know, he's going to give us, I like this. He gives us the exact date that he received this word, this vision, this word. The exact date, the 24th of April. Nisan is what they would say, their first month. And he's not only does he give us the exact day that he received this vision, but he tells us exactly where he was. I can tell you the day and where I was. He says, I was right by the Tigris River. That would be over in the area of modern-day Iraq. Some of you, and I know that you can do this, you can remember the time of day that you got saved. You can remember the date that you got saved. And you can remember exactly where you were when it happened, can't you? If you can't, I've heard people say, well, if you don't know the day you were saved, you're really not truly saved. No, that's not true. That's not true. But I know that some of you can do that. I know I for myself, I'll never forget it. And so I cannot forget the day. May the 4th, 1973. He goes, I remember where I was. I was on the island of Guam. How could you forget that? You ever been there? I was at a Billy Graham crusade and Billy Graham couldn't make it. It's my life story. But I remember. And Daniel says, I'm telling you right now, it was the 24th day of the month, April. And I was standing there by the river, Tigris. So I won't forget that. And he's writing it down for us. And look at verse 5. Then I lifted up my eyes, looked and behold a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me did not see the vision, but a great shaking, quaking, fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone. I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face was in the dirt, on the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. He was up on all fours. And he said to me, verse 11, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling, shaking, literally shaking. He's by the river Tigris. It's the 24th of the month, the first month in his Jewish calendar. He says, I looked up and I saw a man. Now, some believe because of the description that this man is Jesus Christ. The description fits really well with the book of Revelation as John describes Jesus. But I don't believe this is Jesus. And the reason is the rest of the chapter shows that this is a messenger sent by the Lord. And this messenger gets stopped up on the way. And I know Jesus, that wouldn't happen to Jesus. So anyway, this is probably an angel, probably Gabriel. He's been there before. And, you know, here's another thing I think is, it's almost funny. Daniel is an older gentleman. So he's not there alone, at least when he first got there. He's there with some people. And I almost get a picture that most everybody that was with him was younger than him. Because Daniel's up around 90 years old. And he's there with some friends. And he sees this brilliance and he turns and the voice was loud and Daniel looks up to see. Here's what happens to his friends. They must have seen something or heard something because they got so scared they started shaking and every one of them ran away. I can see all these young men now. Let's get out of here. Wait, Daniel, he's too old to run. Leave him! You notice Daniel's there. They left him. They just took off. Everybody ran and there's Daniel. Oh, Daniel. Standing there by himself. Daniel says, I was left all alone with this man. And I had no strength left in me. Seeing this heavenly visitor took the strength physically completely out of his body and he fell down. Collapsed down. Some use this chapter in the Bible as their proof text for being slain in the spirit. It is not a proof text for that. If it were, you've got some real problems on your hands. Because everybody that falls in the presence of the Lord, that belongs to the Lord, that loves the Lord, do you notice how they fall onto their face? Why are all these catchers at these meetings catching people falling backwards? I'll tell you why. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, we learned who falls backwards, and that's the enemies of the Lord. They said, we're here to arrest Jesus. He said, I'm he. What did they do? They fell back. They needed catchers. Didn't they? They fell backwards with no catchers. This is not a proof text for being slain. This is a proof text to show you the power and the brilliance of those who come from the presence of the living God. The holy, which sometimes I think we take for granted. We don't think about how holy and powerful God is. And Daniel says, I had no strength in me. I couldn't even stand myself up. He lifted me up on all fours. And then he told me, you're loved, Daniel. The Lord loves you. You're greatly loved. Stand up. And he said, I stood trembling. You know, there's Daniel all by himself. And I think if you look through Scripture, start in Genesis 1:1, read all the way through to Revelation 22:21, I think you'll find a pattern. Moses was alone when he walked and saw that bush burning and not consumed, and he walked toward the bush. And when God knew he had Moses' attention, God said, Mo, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. Moses was all by himself. And there he spoke with the Lord and the Lord spoke with him. Abraham left his home in Ur of the Chaldees, goes to the promised land. And you'll see many times when Abraham is alone, that's when he's communicating with God and God's communicating with him. God says, come outside the tent. Abraham goes outside this night and God says, look up at the stars. Abraham's all by himself. And God says, you can't count the number of stars. That's how many children you'll have. It'll be like the sand of the sea. And God's telling him that when Abraham has no children, none. And Abraham is over 75 years old at the time. You know, Elijah, he was all alone in that cave, all alone. When he walked to the mouth of that cave and he learned that lesson, the hurricane winds came up, the lightning, the thunder. Remember all that? And God wasn't in the lightning and he wasn't in the thunder. Where was he? In a still, small voice speaking to Elijah when Elijah was all alone. John the Baptist was out in the wilderness and the Lord called him to come and preach. He was out there all alone with the Lord. The Lord called him to come and preach. Jesus Christ, after he was baptized, went out into the wilderness and he spent 40 days fasting and just being alone with his Father. The Apostle John was banished to a prison island for 14 years or more. And it was there, when he was alone, that the Lord showed him the vision that he wrote down called the Revelation. Do you see a pattern here? If you don't, I can keep giving you Bible people. Do you catch a pattern of being alone? Do you, Christian, regularly make it a point to get still and get alone with God? He will speak to you there. He's going to be telling you things. He's going to be directing you. But are you, and most of us want to get with groups. Let's get a group of two or three. Let's get a group of five. Those are fine. Little prayer groups are fine. But are you able to find yourself a place all alone without a phone? Don't take it with you. Don't even, just turn it off and then put it somewhere far away just in case it's possessed. Rings anyway. All alone. If you're not doing that, I think you need to begin. Take your Bible and get someplace quiet. You say, I have little children. They are bound to sleep sooner or later. You're free between midnight and 6. Those are great hours. You slept last month. It's not important. Find a place and a time alone. The Lord will speak to your heart. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, not if, when you pray, enter into your closet, a place private, all alone. And when you shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Jesus had 12 disciples that were right with him, apostles. But do you know, and as you read through the Gospels, notice that, do you know that Jesus leaves them many times, and he will go out and he will pray all alone, all night. Where have you been, Lord? While you were sleeping, I was just praying. Is there anything? Is it a sin to sleep? No. But that was his time. That's how he could find a time. A quiet place alone. And he would go. And then Jesus would do the same thing to you. When you pray, go into your closet. Find that secret place where you can be all alone just for a little while. It may not last for three hours. But when you be all alone and seek the Lord. And here is our friend Daniel. He's all alone. His friends ran. And here he is. Daniel says, I heard his words. I was on my face. And a hand touched me, lifted me up. On my hands and knees. The voice said, Daniel, you are loved greatly. Stand up, it's all right. I've been sent here by the Lord so that you can understand. I've got a message, Daniel, that I need to give to you. Verse 12 says, then he said to me, fear not, don't be afraid. You will notice in Scripture when an angel comes, and comes as an angel. Every once in a while they come disguised. You don't know they're angels. But when an angel comes as an angel, it scares you. Inside the tomb, the ladies look in, there's an angel, two angels. And the angels say, don't be afraid. The angel appears in Mary's room. She's going to be the mother of the Lord. And the angel, the first thing he says, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Now there are times, I admit, when angels will deal with you and you will not know that they are angels. And so Hebrews tells us, be careful to entertain or make sure you're careful at entertaining strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. For instance, a great example would be Lot in the city of Sodom, when the angels came in, he just asked them to stay the evening. They were just strangers to him, two men. Little did he know they were angels. He found out quickly that they were. But when an angel appears as an angel, as this guy, and the brilliance and the brightness and the glowing, believe me, they're going to have to say to you, don't be afraid. Or you're going to start quaking like these other people did, and you're going to run. He says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Verse 12. Now, listen to this language. Because from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I'm here because you prayed. When was Daniel's prayer answered? The first day you began to pray, your prayer was answered. I was sent 21 days ago. Now, does that amaze you at least a little bit? The day you began to pray, the day you began to fast, the day, the very day you began, I was sent. I'm here for your words because you prayed. I've got an answer from the Lord. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, or look, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. All right. Now that's going to let you in on something you've never heard maybe before. You've never seen the like of it before. It's what the term that we use is spiritual warfare. And we toss that around like, you know, I'm in the Lord's army and we march and the kids play. You know, and it's almost like it's a children's kind of concept. Because I'm in the army of the king. But do you read what's going on here? The angel just said, 21 days ago, the first day you began to pray, the Lord answered your prayer and sent me. And it took me 21 days to get here. Where have you been? Well, the prince of Persia blocked my way. The prince of Persia stood against me and stopped me from coming. I wouldn't be here now. But Michael, your prince, he came to help. This is an angel speaking. Do you honestly think some king over there in the east, could stop up an angel for 21 days? Do you really believe that? There's no way. Of course, he just told us. He just gave us the rest of the clue when he said Michael came. Who's Michael? I think each of you recognize Michael the archangel, the overseer of Israel. He's the angel over Israel. He says, Michael came and fought with me. And so I was freed up to come here. 21 days. See, I was on my way the day you began to pray, but the prince of Persia stood against me. That literally means he hindered me, he slowed me down, he blocked my way, he stood against me. Who is the prince of Persia? Well, if Michael the prince is an angel, then I'm going to submit to you, obviously, the prince of Persia is an angel as well. Don't know his name, he's just a commanding angel. And there was a spiritual, literally a spiritual fight happening. And so God pulls back the curtains so that you can see into the spiritual realm, and what you see amazes you, doesn't it? An angel left the presence of the Lord 21 days ago, but was blocked and was entered into a battle with fallen angels. Do you remember that angels have free will? They were created with free will, just as you and me. And I don't know how many angels were created. Some say billions. Who knows? But this we do know. One third of them chose to fight on the side of Lucifer when he was thrown out of heaven. So one third of the angels are fallen. And those are what we call demons. And one of these fallen angels, and God set the angels up in commands, in ranks. That's the way our military gets its system. That's the way most earthly militaries get their system. It's from God's word, because we learn the angels are ranked. You've got your commanding generals, you've got your colonels, you've got your lieutenant colonels, your captains, your majors, your lieutenants, you've got your master sergeants, your sergeants, and then you've got your, I don't like to call them private, I like to call them guardian angels. It's a demon, a fallen angel, and his angel forces withstood this angel that was bringing an answer from God to Daniel. And they fought 21 days. Now remember, in the spiritual realm, there was no time. In other words, the battle is raging right now. So it didn't take him 21 days in eternity. There is no time. It took him 21 days, what you'd count on earth. That's no time there. In other words, the battle was enjoined, and Michael, the archangel, came and took up the battle with me, which freed me up to come here to give you the answer that you'd prayed about. Think about that. Because some of you have prayed and been praying, and you think, you know, I don't think God's hearing me. Maybe Daniel, during this 3 weeks of fasting and praying, maybe he felt the same way. Lord, I'm praying and I'm searching you with my whole heart, and I've confessed everything I can think of confessing, but it seems like the heavens are brass. I don't think my prayers are getting through. I mean, it's been weeks now and you haven't answered. Nothing's happened. Lord, maybe he doesn't love me anymore. Maybe I've done something and I got on his bad side. How many times have you thought that, Christian? How many times? Have you prayed and it's like, it feels like my prayers are getting nowhere. I haven't gotten an answer. Maybe God doesn't love me anymore. Huh. And now God opens the curtains back so you can just quickly look into the spiritual realm. And he says, Daniel, your prayer was answered the first day you prayed. The day you started to pray and fast, I was sent with the answer. But it took me 21 days to get here. Because the prince of Persia blocked my way. I had to fight. The angels are fighting. The fallen angels who stand with Lucifer. And those who serve the Lord are in a battle that is raging right now. And the battle heats up each time you pray. You get down alone in some serious prayer. And if the Lord would open the curtains, you would see swords flashing. It's a spiritual fight. There are ranks of angels. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6. I think this helps us to understand what Paul wrote here in Ephesians. Ephesians, I'm going to read chapter 6, verses 10 and through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He gives us some of the ranks. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. He's giving us ranks. Also, another place that I think is good to remember and it helps you to see ranks is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Talking about the work of God, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above, in other words, his power is far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the which is to come. You see, the angels are ranked. That's how God created them. And you remember archangels. Michael and Gabriel are specifically mentioned as archangels, overseeing angels. In other words, those are basically what you and I would term today as commanding generals of the armies of heaven, under the command of Jesus Christ himself, who's the commander in chief, right? So you got archangels. But then you have listed in the Bible cherubim. Lucifer was a cherub, or cherubim. You come on down a little further, you've got seraphim. Come down to the powers that are, those are the ones I would call the worker bees or guardian angels. Or the privates, the corporals in the outfit. And all of the angels minister to the Lord and minister to the Lord's people. They take messages. They are here. The angels serve you. And I, you know what? Now, after reading these few verses in Daniel chapter 10, it also helps me to get a better understanding of Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Listen to what we read in Romans 15, verse 30. Paul says it. He's about to finish his letter in chapter 16. In 15, he says, "Now I beg you, brethren, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, I beg you that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." You hear that? I beg you to strive together with me to the Lord for me. The word, the Greek word strive, I'm going to try to say this. I'm such a Greek scholar. The Greek word for strive is sunago ni tsomai. Hey, wait. Sunago ni tsomai. Whew. That's why I speak English. Sunago ni tsomai. We get our word agonize from ago ni tsomai. Agonize. That's literally what he's saying. He's saying, I beg you to agonize with me. I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you agonize together with me in your prayers to God for me. Do you see, it is a fight. It is a literal spiritual battle. There is a battle that rages, and Paul understood it, and that's why he says, agonize with me. It's a fight. This is a hard one. I'm asking that the Lord will allow me to come out of prison, Paul's saying. Agonize with me. Go into the battle with me. As we pray, the battle rages even hotter. Daniel, 21 days ago, you began to pray. The answer was sent, and the evil forces, the demons, the fallen angels, stood against me to stop me from bringing this message to you. They don't want this word to get out. And so Michael had to come alongside and take up the fight that I might come to you and deliver this message. The devil didn't want you to hear it. The devil's not wanting any of your prayers to get answered. If you say, Lord, show me your will, show me your direction, let it be known what you would have me to do. What is my life call? What do you want for my life? You know, the enemy doesn't want you to know. So your phone's going to ring. Your pager's going to go off. The sprinkler system's going to come on. Something, the alarm in the smoke detector is going to decide to die right now. And beep, beep, and you... There's a war going on. We joke about it, but it's a real war. Every time you pray. Now, some of you now, I hope, can see why. Your prayers, even though you know God hears you and answers prayers, doesn't it seem like your prayers, some of them go unanswered? Lord, I've been praying. I've been fasting. I'm searching at your heart. I want to know. And it seems like he's not answering. You realize that you need to agonize in prayer. You realize now that there's much more going on during this whole deal. Your simple prayer of, Lord, make me your servant, that's going to set off a chain reaction in the spiritual realm that is going to be a real clash of titans, because the devil doesn't want you serving the Lord. Even though you belong to the Lord, he wants to stop you up and make your life miserable so that you are not effective for the kingdom and for this battle. And so, you see, Paul used this kind of language throughout Scripture of a warfare. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. We're told, for though we walk in the flesh, that means in these physical bodies, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what? It's a spiritual battle, but we don't fight this spiritual realm with carnal weapons. You can't just spit at them or sneak up on them and choke them. It's a spiritual. They're spiritual entities. These are angels, fallen and otherwise. So we are in a spiritual war, but the weapon that we have, it would surprise you. As you take a look, and earlier on we read, put on the whole armor of God. You'd look at the armor, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith. Where's the weapon? Oh, there's one listed. There's one listed, isn't there? And the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Do you realize that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? And the weapon that you are given is the Word of God. Now, I've been in combat here in America and there in Southeast Asia, a few places like that. And before they sent me in, and I know that many of you guys and girls did the same thing, they trained me with the weapon that I'm going to use. And they trained me to where I slept with it. You had to eat with it. You had to sleep with it. If you laid it down, you were going to do push-ups. If it got dusty, you were going to do push-ups. And you had to be able to take that thing apart blindfolded and put it back together blindfolded. And if it jammed, you knew how to unjam it. And if it jammed, you knew why it did. And you got that thing taken care of now, because when you get into war, you have to know how to handle that weapon. And if you're using larger weapons, some of us got to use the larger weapons. And they trained you on them and you learned how they worked and how to operate them. And if they malfunction, how are you going to fix it? Because when you go into battle, you haven't got time to say, "Sergeant, what's this little button here? Is this a..." Boom! Oh, never mind. Next. You know, and in the police department, you would shoot nights, you would shoot days, you would shoot into lights, you would shoot from lights, you would shoot at the vest that you were wearing to make sure it would stop things, and they put us in scenarios to where you were guaranteed to die. I was grateful they were using blanks, but they would tell you going in, "Okay, Officer Davis, you will die today. And here's what we want to learn about you." And then explain to you what your circumstances are going to be in your situation. So you go into an ambush knowing that you and your partner will be shot. But you have to learn how to get weapons, to get other weapons if your weapon is taken. And you learn all these things. Why? Because you have to understand how to use the weapon. All right, guys, what's the point? Let's get it to where it's real. In the spiritual realm, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible. Do you know how to use that weapon? Are you so familiar with this weapon that you know how to wield the Word of God? I know people that have sat under verse-by-verse teaching for 10 years, and they come and they ask questions, and those questions are something that a third-grade student ought to know. They're not listening. They are not handling the Word of God rightly. They are not dividing it. They are not studying it on their own. They're hoping that that little women's study, or that little men's study, or this little group we get together with on, you know, midnight on Saturday. No, listen, you need to get into the Word of God, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing this Word, as Timothy was told. This is the weapon you're going to use. You need to know how to use it. You need to know how it works. You need to know what's in there. You need to be able to take it apart and put it back together blindfolded. You need to know God's Word, because it's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. You need to know how to handle it, because you can begin. Listen, if it's that sharp of a sword, think about this. You start swinging it around people, you might hurt somebody. True? You got that sharp of a sword, and you pull it out and you start swinging it around. You could really hurt somebody. And I've seen people hurt by others quoting them scripture. I've seen people devastated. You know, there's a time for certain scriptures and there's a time not. You know, and the time when someone is down there bleeding to death, there are some scriptures you just don't want to bring up to them. You know what I'm saying? You need to know how to handle this situation. You're going to speak at a funeral? Well, there are some verses you might not want to bring up. just out of courtesy for you're swinging it around non-believers. You know what? Am I making sense to you? You need to know how to handle God's word. Daniel is seeing that it took this angel 21 days to get here. Look at verse 14. The angel says, "Now, I am come to make you understand what shall befall," underline, "your people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days." Okay, there are some. Verse 14 gives us a key now to interpret chapters 11 and 12. Verse 14 gives us that key. So don't forget verse 14. Number one, "I'm come to help you to understand that this concerns your people." All right, you have to answer this question. Who are Daniel's people? The Jewish people, that's right. This is not counting the church. This is not counting all those people in Texas. This is the Jews, Israel, God's people, number one. Number two, "It will be accomplished in the latter days," last days. The period that we call the 70th week of Daniel, the final days, the latter days. And number three, "The vision is for many days," putting the emphasis on the fact that a long period of time is involved. Daniel needs to keep that in mind, so do you and I. That it's for the Jewish people, that it's for the last days, and that there will be a long period of time before those days. In other words, it's not just around the corner. This is a long way out for Daniel. "And when he had spoken such words," verse 15, "to me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb." Literally, I could not speak, speechless. "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and I spoke and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord." Now, he's not calling him Lord because it's the Lord. He's saying, "O my Lord," it's a respectful term. It means, "O sir." "O my Lord, O sir, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength." You know, I have no strength. I'm not feeling well. Something's wrong. I'm not functioning. "For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, immediately there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." I'm having a hard time breathing. I have no strength. "Then there came again and touched me like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me." Verse 19 says, "And he said, O man, greatly beloved, don't be afraid. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And then I said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." In other words, I was so weak. I could hardly stand. I couldn't breathe. I was speechless. It was hard to talk. And I said to him, "Sir, I can't deal with this. I'm having a hard time. I can't function. I can't breathe. I'm too weak. I need your help." And Daniel then was strengthened and comforted at the same time by this angel. "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Be strong." He says twice, "Be strong." And Daniel says, "I was strengthened." And then he says, "Okay, I'm feeling better. I'm ready to hear whatever you've got to say. Go ahead and speak, because you've strengthened me up." So he says, "I'm ready now." Then he said, the angel, verse 20, "Knowest thou wherefore I came to you?" Do you know why I've come? Or of course, you know why I've told you, because of your word. "Now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come." Another fallen angel. When I go back to fight the prince of Persia, we're going to win that one. But the prince of Greece will join in the battle spiritually. "But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince." In other words, the angel, the commanding general overseeing the angels over Israel itself. "Your prince." I like it. Listen closely to what this angel just said. All right, now that you're feeling strong, you know why I'm here. You know that 21 days ago your prayer was answered. I'm here to tell you what's coming, just as you've been praying. And I want you to know that as soon as I have delivered this message to you, I will turn again and go straight back and join in the fight against this prince of Persia, against the demonic, the darkness over the land of Persia. I will go and fight and take up the fight with Michael. And he says, and then the prince of Greece will join in the battle. Remember, the Greek Empire is going to take over the Medes and the Persians. And the spiritual battle won't be over. It's all when the battles are going on the earth, remember there are spiritual battles going on all the time in heaven. The prince of Greece will join in the battle. Again, he's not talking about Alexander the Great. He's talking about the angel, the commanding angel overseeing the fallen angels and the forces of the Greek Empire. We're seeing here that demons are appointed over the different nations to oppose goodness, to oppose the godly forces. I'm going to show you, he says. And once I've shown you, I will go straight back to the battle. You've got to keep in mind that this life that we have here and the things that are going on here, this isn't everything that's happening. You see, when you get down to pray, you've got to remember there's a fight going on, a literal fight going on. And that's what he's telling Daniel. But I'm going to show you what is noted in the scriptures. The word noted here means literally registered or recorded. But I will show you that which is recorded or registered in the scripture of truth, God's word. And there is none that holds with me except Michael. They're overseeing the battle together under the direction of God Almighty. But he says something I like. I will show you what is registered or recorded in the scripture of truth. Scripture of truth is God's word. What he's telling Daniel is you will not hear or see anything that is contrary to God's word. I'll show you what's recorded in scripture. Now I'm telling you right now, it's the same way with you and it's the same way with me. If an angel shows up in your room, scares you bad, you start shaking, say, oh, don't be afraid, sits on the corner of your bed and says, I want you, because these are the last days, we're going to need some finances, I want you to start robbing 7-Elevens. You know it's not of the Lord, because he's not going to go against his written word. Although I hear people doing it all the time. Well, the Lord told me to go in and kill those three people. Wait a minute. He's not going to go against his word. The angel says it. The angel says, I will show you what is registered or recorded in the scripture of truth. So you always have a way if somebody gives you a prophecy or if some angel shows up on a rooftop and blows a trumpet and says something like this. You always have a way to go. There's an anchor so you don't drift. God's word. The angel says, as soon as I show you, I will head back to the battle. But I've been sent here by the Lord because you prayed. We'll have to stop there. And that's amazing to me. It sheds light on our prayers. Because there are times when you and I are praying and we know God hears prayers because he says so. But it's like those prayers are getting nowhere. Like they're bouncing off the ceiling. Well, that's not true. God hears the cry of the righteous. He's hearing your prayers. But you've got to understand that there's a war raging in the spiritual realm. So Paul says, I know there's a war raging, so I beg you to strive with me, agonize with me in prayer to the Lord for my sake. I'm asking the Lord will let me out, as Paul says, so I can come and see you. Agonize with me. It's a fight. It's a struggle. And the weapon that you and I have, sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. We need to learn how to handle it. We need to keep it at our side at all times. Shield of faith, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and the sword of the Spirit, God's word. That's the weapon that we use. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we thank you. We're amazed. Thank you so much for your word. It helps us to get just a little bit of a grasp of all that takes place out there, Lord, the things we can't see. There is so much that we don't understand and can't see. But you've shown us just a glimpse, knowing that you've got this battle won. Satan is a defeated foe.